Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dolls.
Back from tour.
I am a little depressed to be off the road.
We had such a good time on the road.
I know.
Laura had a minivan.
I had a minivan. I took to the streets of OKC, Dallas, and Austin in Mama's minivan. Squired my boys around.
It was a true van life.
It was. And I liked it. It was comfortable.
It was so fun. We road tripped from OKC to Fort Worth to Austin. Fort Worth to Dallas was a road trip.
Yeah.
Far as hell.
I didn't realize they were so far away from each other.
Next time we'll go.
They were like next door and maybe you cross one street and then you're in Fort Worth, but it's like a whole different city.
Yeah. Well, that was very clear to us.
Geography.
People were made adamant that we made the difference clear.
Yeah, I was glad to have that explained to us ahead of time so we didn't accidentally say Dallas.
Yeah, it was just great. I'm sad too. I'm happy to be back with my Polski, but I'm sad I missed Austin. We had a great time in Austin.
Austin was really something special.
It was.
I felt the vibes and I felt like a tug that was like, this could be your life. And I was like, you're not wrong.
We had a great final day in Austin. We scooted around. We went to some vintage stores. We had a cupcake by the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Simon showed us everything.
The king of Austin.
I know. He becomes like a brooding teen when we leave Austin because he loves it so much and he just doesn't want to leave. And I'm like,
I can't say I blame him.
No way.
The thought of going back to LA at this point is enough to make me debt the vest.
When landing in Burbank in the cold pouring rain, the dark, literal black clouds hanging over Burbank in the pouring floodwaters was enough to make me drive my Cybertruck into the sea.
It's time to all buy a Cybertruck and drive them into LA landmarks.
Going from Burbank to getting mango and then driving all the way to LAX where my car was parked and then driving back from LAX, it all took 3 hours. It was...
No, you set yourself up for...
We did. We had no time.
You set yourself up for a suicide mission.
We did. LAX... I went, ooh, when I saw people going into the departures, I went, ooh, that's not me.
No, literally, I was sitting at our whole trip to the Austin airport took like, what?
12
it's
minutes.
Like probably, it's like 15 miles or something. It took
a mile
15
a minute.
To 20 minutes to get there. I was calculating in my head, like the returning a rental car into the terminal. Just like doing calculations, literally the woman with all the numbers. And I was like, in LA to go on this journey to return the rental drive to LAX and like even get in there would probably take 3 hours total before you even like got to check in.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, yo-ho.
I experienced that last night. I love Dallas. Dallas was fun. Dallas came alive in the nighttime. Simon and I went to the Roundup. The infamous, legendary
mountain. Old gay Dallas.
Laura had to stay in her room because her room got denied somehow when we were checking in at like...
My room, like...
11 p.m. They were...
Disappeared.
They said, sorry, ma'am, we have no record of you ever booking a room here. And Laura was like...
Yeah, they were like, we have your booking.com information, but on our end, you simply don't exist and there's no room for you. And then it was just a stare off. And it was like, I don't know what you expect me to say to that. Like, it's like the way that that news was delivered was like, I was supposed to be like, okay. And then like walk out of the door and just into the streets and figure it out for my damn self. And so I engaged in kind of just like a silent, I go to silent stare mode when given that kind of information.
It's literally the last thing you want to hear at 11 p.m. after being on the road all day and performing for 3 hours, that your name doesn't exist and that your identity,
a non-entity at this hotel. But we figured it out.
It was giving best in show and they're like, well, we don't have you booked here, but we can give you the storage closet. And then we were like, just wheel her in a cot.
We were like, do you have an extra mattress? So they put a mattress on the floor, fuckboy style. And like a dog in a dog bed, I slept next to Carrie and Simon in their room.
Trundle glory. But it was a big mattress.
It was a great mattress. And it wasn't like a roll away. It was like they put like a full sized mattress on the floor, which I appreciated. And it was very comfortable. And then they also said that they were going to give you guys your room for free that night too for the inconvenience.
So it all worked out.
So now I've entered a new war zone, which is like going up against booking.com trying to get myself refunded for not existing.
Yeah, it ended up being a kind of beautiful gift that we didn't have to pay to stay there.
Yeah. Did they refund you?
I don't think yet, but I think they have. It's like in the process.
Okay.
But I will.
You have to stay on that.
I will.
You have to have justice.
I was too busy trying to get from Burbank to LAX last night to notice. It was fun. It was true sleepover vibes. We just kept being like, have you seen this Reddit?
Yeah, Simon told me about all the Reddits he follows, and then I followed all of them. And I'm just like committing to Reddit life, honestly.
I know,
That's what has to happen.
Simon was a great roadie.
He was our tour manager. He was
our photographer.
He stepped in at important times. He captured everything. It was awesome.
He was the tour therapist. He was helping with the light. He was giving light pointers as an artist.
Yeah.
But it was so good. Everyone who came out was amazing. Everyone was lit in the best way. We got to meet a bunch of heads from all over the country came. People flew in from the East Coast. People drove from Arkansas and Kansas and Arizona, Portland. Like it was a full
Denver.
It was a full, you know.
It was a national event.
It really was. And we're not done yet. We have a show in Berkeley next week that's very close to selling out. It's a very low ticket warning for that. So you should get on those.
You don't want to miss this show, and it's only getting better and better as time goes on. So every single show that happens is better than the show before it.
Oh, we forgot my mom and dad came. They drove down with us. My mom was in her prime.
Dorothy was on fire.
I got to meet Laura's brother.
You got to meet my brother. You got to meet my mom and my dad.
It was a shame. Laura gave us a tour of OKC where she grew up. I saw them.
I gave you the drunk driving tour.
Yeah.
All the places that I used to drive drunk.
You gave us the teens kind of ambling through life at night in OKC.
The teenage terrorism tour where I would go secure like an 18 case of beer and drink it and drive simultaneously.
That's crazy.
The only thing that was missing was cigs.
But it was amazing. It was so fun. Berkeley's gonna be great. Then we're gonna take the East Coast by storm in the next few months.
We're gonna announce a bunch of show dates soon, so don't worry, East and West Coast, we haven't forgotten about you entirely.
We've got our eyes on you.
Certainly, Canada, you're in for a treat as well.
We can't say yet, but just know we're coming for you, Canada.
I finished Crawl last night, by the way. Speaking of Canadians.
Did you love?
I loved it, but I was hoping kind of that it would end like really cynically. Like that just when you think they're getting saved, cruel.
A gator
would like snap them. Or like a gator. Like I wanted, you know, when there's a Jaws movie where a gator fully takes out a helicopter, or where a shark takes out a helicopter. Like I needed that to happen in Crawl.
I forget, without spoilers, did that one character that I was very invested in survive?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I know. I was clutching Tony and being like, I can't actually spiritually take it if this thing dies.
No.
But I would have liked everyone to die except for that thing.
I'm reading a great book right now that I need to recommend.
What?
It's from 1987. It's called Swan Song by... Hold, please. Robert McCammon. It's wild. It's kind of like...
I like the name.
It's sort of like The Stand. It's like a post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear war America, but there's like a spiritual aspect and like a Masonic figure, a messianic figure, and also like a satanic figure converging with all these survivors. And it's really scary. It's genuinely scary. Like I was reading it on the plane and I was like, ooh.
Okay, I love that.
And it's 1,400 pages, so it's a lot, but I think they're making a show out of it.
And it moves fast.
It moves really fast. And okay, it doesn't feel like it was written in the 80s. It feels like it was written today.
It's timeless, you might say.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Also, trailer for Ronje dropped, and I think Louis and Teresa are headed towards ruin, financial and marital.
Damn, no. Surprising, but I just want Teresa to like get the dick she deserves in life.
I just want her to be with a guy that doesn't fuck her over financially.
I think she needs to be a lesbian. I think she just needs to turn and go into like bodybuilding lesbian relationship mode. I think she's cursed when it comes to men. Her picker is off.
Totally. She has a type. She falls for scam artists.
Wait, I want to watch it now.
Louis? He's Dirty John. We saw that from a mile away. Everyone did.
I know. I just wanted him to be like, okay.
No. You can't be that.
Money troubles. No. That's the worst fucking news for Tree. Not money troubles. I'm truly Renee at the kitchen island with that. No! Pissed her money away? No! Oh my God.
Right?
Why does this hurt? This hurts me. Where's the fucking trailer?
This season on The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Who's next for the ass shot?
He likes a little tickly ass.
Why is there a lemon on his peach video?
I'm not wearing any of these.
Nice and loose.
You never f***ing borrow any of my pants.
Milk the prostate, baby. I would like to have my prostate milked.
We are a bunch of savages.
I wouldn't trade my friends for anyone.
Cheers to our friendship. I love you guys.
Cheers.
I can't believe you're leaving me.
Hi, Delaware.
I brought my tissues.
Don't cry.
Going to college in 3 days.
I'm proud of you, Gabriella.
I'm going to miss you.
So what's up with Paulie and Dolores?
He's still married.
He won't get divorced?
I don't know.
You have a right to know your future.
Yeah.
Do you think if I get divorced, I'm just going to get down on my knee and engage you the next day?
I'm going to have to rethink this.
Margaret, how are you and Joe doing?
Your marriage was better when Jan was alive.
Are you, like, reflecting on leaving him?
Everybody loves the Messler. You know, like Stifler? Stifler. We got the Messler.
I think you're awesome.
That's who you want to associate yourself with?
Yes.
I feel like I'm mourning what our friendship used to be.
I don't understand what you're so upset about, Rach.
Hi, how are you?
Jackie, Judas Goldschneider. You want to tell Teresa everything you've been doing behind her back?
I'm being friends with whoever I want to be friends with, and I don't care.
This is so comical to me right now.
You have like a hard-on for my husband. I don't know why.
I don't have a hard-on for him. It's Olympic with your husband.
I'll be Teresa.
Honey.
I want no part of it.
You're the poster child for mortgage fraud.
That was my husband. Thank you very much.
Teresa is distraught because in the house, there is not a lot of calm.
Every time I talk to her, her stomach is in knots.
She's not doing great.
Louie kissed her money away.
When I need my money laundered, I'll call you.
I want it to be better.
It's not going to be better.
All right.
I don't want to talk about it.
What's going on with you and me, just out of curiosity?
That is nobody I want to be friends with. I'm not looking her way again.
You're a f***ing bully, Teresa.
Don't poke the
f***ing
bear.
This is a big
f***ing
waste of my time. I'm walking away from you.
I see your true colors.
Right.
I just
f***ing
out at you.
You're dirty. Everybody was right about you. You're a piece of s***.
All right, Danielle. We see you.
You want to know why?
Anyway, listen. That was a great evening. Not so much.
Wow.
Wow. These ladies really know how to serve.
Jackie and Teresa.
Crave their accents.
Is unholy. They're all on Ozempic.
They are.
I love it.
They look great.
They all look fucking great.
They look fucking snatched. They're all so hot. I can't handle Teresa being like broke.
She's just an American tragedy.
She is an Italian American tragedy.
She is. She's like first generation American tragedy. Like just trying her goddamn best.
Wasn't she second generation?
Her parents are from...
Wouldn't her parents be first generation?
Oh, yeah, okay. Second generation American tragedy.
She'll bounce back. If there's one thing... Well, she bounced back before. She built herself back up from total ruin.
I just hope she doesn't go to jail again.
What?
She needs to go to jail again and then come out refreshed.
Maybe jail is really good for her. It's kind of like some people go to a spa, some people go to like the ranch, like in Malibu and hike and do anorexic vegan diets and get massages. And then some people go to jail.
Some people prefer to be in jail.
I get it. There have been times when I would have preferred to be in jail.
You don't have to, you just like all, everything's taken care of.
There are times in life when jail, like, if you had a choice between like facing the consequences of your actions or going to jail,
yeah.
I would much rather go to jail.
Same.
Oh, God. Tree.
It's bad.
I wish her well.
Me too.
Should we talk about this woman in Australia?
Yes.
There's a woman, Australia's most sexually active woman aims for 600 partners in 2025. A hero.
Annie Knight.
A load temper hero.
She's a load, just a load almanac. Annie Knight claims to have slept with 300 men in 2023. Honestly, there's probably a lot of gay men who have slept with 300 men a year. And like.
That's about like one every day with like a couple months off.
Yeah.
That's like. Okay, and then she's upping it to 365 men by the end of 2024, so exactly one a day. But in 2025, she says it's 600 or bust.
So that's like multiple, that's like two.
It's about two a day.
Two men a day. Listen, I love it. I think it's great. She's being judged, the Gold Coast-based content creator added she hopes to break the stigma around women enjoying casual sex. She makes $2 million a year.
That just seems, it's like a lot of work to get fucked by a different man.
Yeah.
Two times a day.
Having.
You're like, oh my God. Like, how do you even find 600 men that you want to fuck? Like, I don't even believe that 600 fuckable men, for me, exist in the world.
It's a lot. And I'm assuming they're coming to her because she's like, I'm not going to you.
No, the travel budget, I can't. You better make $2 million if you're going to travel. I think it's smart of her to put it out there in the Daily Mail because she'll get more candidates.
But also, it's like inviting that many people into your home space is like a lot energetically. I'm like,
you have to rent a studio. You have to have studio space.
I don't judge at all, obviously, like go off queen, but I'm also like, just make sure you're getting rest and keeping your energy preserved as much as you can. spiritually.
How do you like vet these guys? You need like a fuck assistant to like.
Oh, I'm sure she has a team.
Pre-interviews.
I just saw a viral thing. I think I sent it to you and Sierra. I saw like a viral thing on Twitter last week of this adult performer, like an OnlyFans queen, who had a gangbang for her birthday, and she like had an entire team vet everyone for like STDs. She screened everyone like for mental, making sure no one was like gonna hurt her or like hurt other people. She had a whole team do this in, you know, cooperation with her own partner who like arranged everything, this guy. And she had a graph. What are people who do like graphs?
Like a pie chart?
Yeah, she had people break down like a team. She hired a team to like break everyone's experiences down, break her experiences down, like how long every guy lasted, how long, you know, how many loads she took, how many guys finished in her, finished, didn't finish. And then she had fluffers who were female people who could either just blow the guys while they waited or have sex with them if they wanted. So it was all like the women were sort of like in charge. And one guy lost his virginity to her in front of everyone.
She got scientific data about the experience.
She got a full thing, and she wrote a Substack. I was reading it. I was like, I've never seen sex broken down in such a like mathematical way where I was like, I salute you.
It takes a village to fuck
it takes
a village. Yeah.
It takes
you
a village.
You need to like employ, it's like a business. Like, no. You have to run a business if you want to get ran through.
I'll send you the Substack. It's fascinating.
Please do. Yeah. I mean, I just can't imagine the amount of time and energy it takes to not only get fucked, but find. Also, 365 to 600 is a huge jump. Like, I love setting goals, but I'm like, maybe let's go to like 450 seems like a good, you know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Have certain weeks where it's like a spree and then like take some time off.
Yeah. Do you just like preload in the day? Like you have some days where you just fuck 10 to get them out of the way.
Whoa.
Doesn't it seem like it would be not fun by like.
I'm assuming.
How many guys could you fuck before you were like, I've had enough for this year?
Me?
Yeah. Like, what do you think your threshold is?
I mean, it depends. Like, when I was in New York in my 20s, it was all bets were off.
I know, but I'm talking about now.
Oh.
What's your threshold today? The year of our Lord, 2024, March 7th.
It wouldn't be a lot. I have to acknowledge my threshold has waned, or my ability in my old years to get these old bones up and going. It would take a lot. Okay.
If you were told
like a numerical number.
Yeah. Like you set you have set out to like fuck this amount of guys. What's like the amount? Like if you could fuck up to 600, but like how far do you really think that you could get?
From like January to December 31st.
Yes. A calendar year.
15.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe 20.
All right. That was low.
Well,
that was lower than I thought it would be.
I'm really trying to be like realistic about my like emotional threshold. Before I could probably be like 100, but I think like 15 or 20 realistic. If I'm being fully realistic about where I am right now, it'd be 15 or 20, which is
if I had a team in place, if I had a full team that was like seeking out interviewing.
Oh, if I had a team, okay, maybe.
No,
I thought
about
it was like
team. Like,
oh,
how many?
Oh,
do
maybe
you,
like.
No, it's how many guys would you go through if you had like the resources and the team? Like, how many would you commit to doing?
100.
Cool. That's
I think
like
I could
two
do
a
it.
Week.
Yeah, I could do that.
Mine is like 50.
I thought you meant like me alone.
No, I'm just saying. Like, if you have the team and the infrastructure,
I could do 100 in a year. With a team, okay. Vetting, scheduling, a Google calendar,
a
googly calendar, and like people vetting and making sure no one's gonna like be violent with me.
Yeah.
I'm in, yeah, 100. I could do it.
Okay. I choose 50. That's like right. one a week with 2 weeks off to just yeah. like do me. But I think like having like a sexy guy to fuck that's like once a week, I look forward to like fucking like a new hot sexy guy. That's enough. That gives me the will to live without making me feel overwhelmed. And also knowing that there might be 2 weeks where I'm like, I want nothing to do with anyone.
Yeah.
And I just get to take me time.
Yeah. And I think like I could do that where I could take a week off and then like double up for four in a week.
Mm-hmm. We need like a tour manager yeah. for the fuck fest. The
A fuck manager.
A fuck manager and their team. And they get like, I don't know how they would take money for that because it's I'm not paying anyone to fuck me. But
no, they're just doing it.
They get a hand job. They get 10% of a fuck. They get like a hand job or fingered.
It'd be also nice to have like just a bouncer at the door.
You need security in the other room or just like security downstairs. You can like push a button.
I want like a twink on their like an assistant twink like on his laptop. In the other room.
You need like your own Shoshana from Madam Web.
Yeah, I want like someone just like looking at CCTV inexplicably, like looking at traffic patterns.
I want like a full asexual. I need a full asexual, like them to be yeah. watching security cameras and like creating data, but like a total scientific asexual, non-binary. Yeah.
Totally. That's like just
assistant.
Like I'm here to support you and like it's none of my business, but it is fully my business.
I think yeah, I would even go one step further and say like I would prefer them to even be like on the spectrum somewhat, so they're like very focused on the data.
Yeah.
And like and then they can get that to me accordingly.
Yeah. No, I want like a breakdown.
Completely business as usual. Like, I would need the team. Yeah, there would be that. There's that position that's open. And then there's also, I think I need like, I'm going to need a gay man on the team to be like, you've got this girl. Like, to be
like a hype.
Just like hyping me.
Yeah, like a slut guru. That's just like.
I think a slut guru / personal trainer. To make sure that I'm feeling like my most fuckable self, but also who wants to like dish about everything that happened.
Yeah.
And like gossip.
Totally. I think that's great.
And then I just need like the management team that's like fielding resumes, seeking out applicants, and like vetting them accordingly.
Headshots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would like if someone brought like a gift. If once in a while, like, requiring one of the guys to bring, like, a box of Topo or, like, a cigarette pack.
I think
a carton of cigs. Like, I want them to, like, basically pay me to fly.
Yeah, definitely. I think that they, part of the, my requirements is that they have to be open to, like, a relationship. At any given time, like they have to be open to a relationship, but also understand that I have the entire year to like get through everyone, and I'll be in touch at any time, but that they are required by law to like engage with me until I say no, I'm done with you. But they also must bring a gift, and that's part of like the vetting process, is like, do I like their gift or not? And then I need the management team to do a dismissal. Like, if I just simply don't want to engage anymore, but I also don't want to like have to actively disengage, the management team dismisses them, and then they are never to contact me again, and like I don't ever want to see them again.
And an NDA must be signed.
Oh, absolutely. NDAs are crucial. Absolutely.
I also want like,
I really like your gift idea. I think that that goes far. Because you never know what they're going to show up with.
I want Trudon and I want a Byredo cologne.
I think they would need to, the team would need to give them a list of
like
Things that I like, but also they need to, it's like they can get links to like wish lists and also links to the entire like podcast and writing archive of mine. And then it's their job to either do some research, mama, and come up with some good stuff, or we'll just see. If they don't do the research, then they're up for potential dismissal.
Yeah. It's definitely something to consider.
That'd make a really good reality show, actually.
It would. Someone needs to get in touch with this girlie.
Hers is, she needs, well, 450.
No, 600. 650.
No, 600.
600 dudes.
That's a lot.
They also need to have clean, they need to like clean their balls, wash everything.
There's a checklist.
Yeah.
There's a hygiene checklist that they have to go through. And I'm also going to need, this is different from my data, like, security person. There's a hygiene inspector on site that does, like, that will do, like, sniff tests. And I'll, and like, sniff and, like, just inspections.
Preferably a female identifying hygiene, because she'll be
more...
Yeah.
In tune with like what, and I'll describe, like, sometimes I like a bit of a stinky armpit, so I don't mind that, but she's going to sniff and I'll describe to her what my preferred like armpit smell is. And if it doesn't meet those specific smell guidelines, we're also, honestly, we're going to need a backup list of if someone arrives and they don't pass the hygiene test for flakes, and the people who don't arrive and don't pass hygiene, we need a backup list.
We do.
Of people that can be contacted at a moment's notice and show up ready to go and meet all hygiene standards, but also meet like my standards. Mm-hmm. So it's a true, this is, would probably cost like a few $100,000 to really pull
to
this
employ.
Off.
And I'd like
to they, employ.
I'd
all
like
these
a
people.
Note. I'd like some kind of like a written.
A thank you note.
Yeah. Or just like a, like, that was, you know, just how do I feel? A check-in. No.
They'll need
cruelty.
To fill out like a out a survey.
That's what she,
afterwards.
This
that's
gangbang,
the data.
The gangbang queen got them to fill out surveys. And she said guys were like networking, talking about business, like talking
about.
It's
a great business opportunity for men, but I'm not providing a business opportunity. No. I don't want them to enter. Mine is strictly you don't interact with each other. You assign an NDA, but it's also like you're not seeking out. I'm not here for you to like hobnob with each other.
No, fuck
you.
This
is about me and my needs. So it's an expensive undertaking, but one I'm willing to explore.
Speaking of hobnobbing, we need to get into this episode because it's so good.
Okay.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy.
Sexy. Unique.
Unique.
Gangbangs.
Gangbangs. Hygiene coach! Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
Like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you. What coach?
Hygiene coach!
Hygiene test!
Hygiene guru! We have to call them all guru, like hygiene gurus, though. A hygiene mentor.
This is my data guru. This is my hygiene guru. This is my managing guru.
My ethical slut guru.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was a lot.
It was radical.
It was radical.
It was a radical departure from the form that we're used to.
It was a
People
lot.
We're getting experimental in this space.
I'm still not sure if it's good, though.
This season is categorically not good. Like, this is, and we knew this going in, like, that this was going to be a shithole season that's kind of boring, mid, and people are not going to be able to, like, rise to the occasion, because truly, the Vanderpump way is that you give them any form of success that they seek, they will immediately fuck it up and, like, not give you what you seek. So we need them to be completely failing in order to deliver incredible TV. But if they are winning in any way, shape, or form, you can trust, truly, this is my data algorithm, you can trust that if they are winning, it goes down, down, down in quality.
We come up on the Tahoe house the morning after Wolf, and you hear James, they like edited his voice, but it sounds like he's using the Dune voice, and he goes, "Where are my chocolates? Where are my chocolates, 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 chocolates?"
Sandoval. Mm. Dom? Mm. You better watch out. Sandoval is writing in his journal. Mm-hmm. I took a screenshot because I needed to know what he had to say.
What was he saying?
Let's see. Wednesday, July 15th, 2023, 9:55 a.m. Yesterday was one of the craziest filming experiences I've had. Steer being on this show. Walked to the airport. Walked in the airport. Sheena called me to where they were sitting. Like nothing had happened. Prob one of the worst days to have only gotten 1 hour of sleep before flying. Why'd you get 1 hour of sleep, you fucking drug addict loser? Why? What's going on here?
Adderall.
1 hour of sleep? I was very emotional all day because of the lack of sleep and feeling overwhelmed. I feel love from everyone. Conversation could have gone better with James, but was definitely productive. What is he even saying?
Love? Everyone fucking hates you. Everyone hates you. Schwartz even hates you.
He's truly one of the dumbest people ever born.
He's an idiot. Sheena is in bed with, and Lala comes in, and then Graham comes in, and everyone, Sheena literally looks like, oh no. That dog is scary. He was like somewhat well behaved, but I know they cut out some snaps.
They are literally like editing out like Graham killing a production assistant. Like he's on his choke leash all the time, which I also was like, he's shockingly well behaved and docile. But I'm like, what's the truth here?
No, I know.
I need an unedited like shots B-roll of Graham's true colors being exposed. Because I know he's up to no fucking good.
It hippie slash Graham. I'm just going to call him Graham. I refuse to call him hippie.
He's sucking Graham. I'm dead naming him. I don't give a shit.
Graham always, like, you see a chill runs down everyone's spine when that dog enters the picture. Because everyone is afraid. And rightfully so. That dog should not be off leash. If I had that dog, if I was on a trip with it, I would tie him up basically in my room. He wouldn't be allowed out of my room.
Oh my God.
To run free in that home? That's sick. After everything?
They probably have a, they have like men on by with like dart guns.
Yeah, they have like a
tranquilizer guns waiting in every room for when Graham goes rogue. They can just trank him.
I would keep him in my room at least. I'd make a little like comfort zone for him and just be like, you have to stay in here for the rest. Only time we can go out, I'm going to give everyone a warning to go in their rooms. I will take you outside to go to the bathroom and play, then bring you back in and immediately usher you inside.
You know what Graham is like? He's like the kid in the Twilight Zone movie who like can control the world with his mind and thoughts.
Totally.
And everyone's like terrified of him.
Yeah.
Everyone's walking on eggshells around Graham.
Sheena is like, I'm really conflicted about this. I was texting Ariana last night and she's basically just like has no mercy. And like, if anyone is nice to Sandoval, she's like, you will not be my friend. And Sheena's like, it's hard for me because I was thinking about during the pandemic when I was pregnant and broke, I lost my podcast and I didn't have any money. And he PayPal'd me like thousands of dollars to stay afloat. I mean, that's nice.
I believe that. And that's really nice. Like, I do believe that Tom Sandoval is like a caring friend in that way. Like as someone that would go out of his way to like help a friend financially. Well,
yeah, he paid for fucking James's engagement. Like that is in itself is unhinged, but yeah, he is.
But like, I love that. And honestly, justice for Shenanigans. I hated hearing that Sheena had to go through that tough time.
So Lala is pretty like, look, I'm with you. I don't think this person needs to be crucified daily for this dumb thing he did. Like, I think we need to show a little grace here. So like, clearly Lala's continuing to be like the sober person of the group.
Yeah, and it's also, it's kind of fucked up to be like, I'm refusing to film with this person that I've been on a show with for like almost 10 years, but everyone else has to film with them. And then I'm going to like
get mad at make them when rules they do.
For their the kind of relationships they can forge with this person while I'm refusing to engage entirely. Because also it's like Ariana is getting money from a lot of other sources. Like this show is the only thing many of these people have. Like, yeah, they have podcasts and side hustles and a restaurant, but I think this show is probably providing like the bulk of their income.
My theory is that, I mean, I know it kind of comes out later, but I think in general, Sheena's biggest, why she keeps crying is because she's just like, she's like, I've been usurped by this person that I was like never, like, I think she's just genuinely shocked that Ariana is super famous. And I think it's really hard. It's a hard pill for someone like her who's been like clawing her way into fame since like before Vanderpump Rules. She's always, that's like the one thing Sheena's always wanted is to just be in the spotlight. And now that she is even more in the spotlight, it's because of someone else. It's not even her. It's like her proxy to it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. I think that's part of it for sure. But I do think also she did lose.
No,
a friend and is experiencing. It's weird because like Ariana, the most emotional we've ever seen her and the only glimpse we've truly ever had of like what goes on in that little head of hers is when we had the finale last season and she was like screaming and like raw. But then you cut to this season and it's like there, it's just like she's like an avatar. There's no honoring of like, there's no emotional and like reflection on anything. There's not even like deep rage or anger. And there's not even kind of like the acknowledgement of, wow, this is crazy that this happened. And I became like a famous millionaire. And like there's overnight. No acknowledgement of anything. It's just like, no one talked to this person and I'm not going to do my job that I'm supposed to be doing on this show. And everyone's just going to love me. And I'm not going to like see any nuance or give anyone any sort of reflection on anything.
I see rage brimming. I think she's really trying to like hold it together for the camera to seem like to, cause her brand now is like steely queen in the face of heartbreak. And like, she's like, you know what I mean? And I think even when we see her, like she's doing this cocktail book, single AF cocktails. And like, I think she's really compartmentalizing. And I see a lot of anger still. I think she's really fucking mad.
Yeah.
And I think she's trying to put this face on of like, I'm a bad bitch. I'm a single bad bitch who just got, you know, cheated on, but instead of succumbing, I'm gonna like be a phoenix rising. You know what I mean? So I think she's just like, it's like a brand she's selling now.
Yeah, I think she's on the brim. Like I've seen buns that have told the true tale, mm-hmm. but yeah, you're gonna have to give me more than you're giving. You're giving a bit C+ energy at best. I'm gonna need you to notch it up to like at least A-, babe.
She's doing this photo shoot and Katie and her are just protesting the Tahoe trip. And Katie's like, that's cool because I just want to smoke weed and eat pussy. So she comes over and brings lunch. Finally, she speaks. And Ariana's showing her the cocktail menu. And it's all like about the story of her relationship, the honeymoon period, the betrayal, you know, learning who this monster that she was with for 10 years is. And then she has one cocktail's called Coachella, and then one is called Little Sister Vibes. It's just, it's strange. Yeah. It must be, it's just very strange that Raquel is not monetizing any of this.
I mean, I guess she is via her podcast, but
in the moment, though, like, she's just like, it's just strange. Like, she's, I know.
But there was not that opportunity for her.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there just was no, like she was just fully, it's like you were the worst person to ever exist in this country and you must be exiled into the frozen hills. and think about what you did.
It really is social media. It's actually insane because there was just no opportunity for Tom or Raquel. And also, I guess, I actually disagree with that because I think there is so much attention like on them that there is opportunity, but they have to be willing. Like, Tom's too much of a fucking idiot to really understand what to do.
Yeah.
And Raquel, I think, was too traumatized to really do anything but like go to the insane asylum and try and heal. So I understand why they weren't able to like get it together.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like, go off to Ariana, like truly go off. Like, she's fucking riding this lightning bolt to the cosmos pretty much. Like, she's... And I respect that, you know, and I think, yeah, there's some, do I want her to like film with Tom for my ghoulish entertainment? Want to see her and him duke it out and like want to see her just ream him out on the show? Yes, of course. But I'm also like, she's got to do what she's got to do.
Yeah.
I guess the Raquel thing is just like, she haunts the show. She haunts the season and she's not there. And it's just, it's strange because it's like all they talk about is her.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I don't know.
I mean, also, to be fair, Ariana was never the most compelling character on the show. Like, if someone's going to get fucked over, like, when Dodi and Stassi went at it, they, like, you could at least understand that they're going to, like, come back into the fold and like finish what they started and like keep that high energy up and like engage in that way. Mm-hmm. But like, or even Sheena, I would argue. But
I think Ariana was always like just too normal.
She like, was she kind was, of like the voice of reason.
She was the voice of reason. She was like the proxy, kind of like, you were always just like, why is this cool girl hanging with all these fucking lunatics? Mm-hmm. And then this kind of seismic thing happened, and then she suddenly was like too big for all of them.
I think they're all shocked and like somewhat jealous of that.
No, and I think they're all reeling from this kind of haze they're all in. It's like they all have whiplash. It all happened so fast. It was so meteoric. And now they're all like, the dust is settling, and they're like, wait, is my time in the sun ending? And Ariana's is still going, she's like moving past us now. And they're reckoning with it.
Their biggest reckoning is that they are tethered to the show, whether they like it or not. I kind of wish that Ariana had quit Vanderpump Rules and like went on to do Lay's partnerships and BMT like Dancing shows. With the Stars and do her own thing. And like maybe have a sandwich spinoff, but I kind of wish she had left and that Raquel had stayed. And we had to just see the fallout of everyone dealing with the fact that a star was born and got to leave the nest. And they all have to like wade in the mire of their own life choices. That would have been a far more compelling season to me personally. If I had things my way, that's what would have happened.
I think we just have to like assume she got offered a paycheck she couldn't deny.
Well, it's also like you're not going to be able to supplement. You're not necessarily, when given that choice of being like, you're getting six-figure deals all the time, and then you have a guaranteed, like, the show is, like, the base salary, and anything on top of that is a bonus. But you don't want to just, like, have something else come in and just replace the base salary and then be missing out on that guaranteed six figures. Like, so you're going to be, like, obviously I'm the star of this. She's basically pulling, like, a Kevin Costner in Yellowstone. She's like, I'll do it for, like, $10-20 million, but I only want to film for a week. And then everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, it doesn't work like that. Whereas Kevin Costner, I think they like fired him, or they're like not allowing it, she's being like totally allowed to do whatever she wants.
This is a show full of people who have main character syndrome. Ariana was the only person who didn't have that. She was kind of content just being like, I'm just doing this thing with my boyfriend and it's crazy and I get to like get, I have some notoriety, you know what I mean? And now she is fully the main character, and all the main characters who think they're main characters are supporting players, and they're fucking pissed. That's what I think is happening. Tom's arranged a yoga appointment. He lets the woman in, and she pretends to not know the story of Scandoval as he explains what he did and why, what he's seeking from this session today. So she's like, okay, so we're going to do a little, we'll do it differently then. We're not going to do like a full like Bikram type of yoga style. We're going to do more of like a healing session.
And he's like, all right.
They all gather in a semicircle to begin their meditation journey. And Brock shows up a little late. He was golfing all morning. Got stuck on the 17th hole, but he made it. And he sits down. And
she is so pissed.
Sheena is furious. And then even more furious when Shannon, the yoga instructor, says, turn to the person next to you and sit back to back with them, and you're going to go on a journey with them. And her face was literally,
Sheena's
Kermit
like a,
was mad.
She's like, what do I have to do?
Yeah. She goes, Brock, do you want to come over here?
Brock, what are you doing? And he's like, nah, babe, I'm going to stay here with Lala and Schwartz.
No, babe, I'm over here with James and Ally.
Oh, have sorry, fun, James though. And Ally.
Have fun
over there. And then
have fun with Tom.
Sheena's like, Brock. And she's like, please lean up against each other right now. And Sandoval's like, all right. Got you.
All right, let's do it. I wrote, Sheena's a warrior. She's immediately crying. And Sandoval goes, you okay? She goes, all right, it's okay. I'm okay. And then she goes, it's not okay. I need a minute. I still fucking hate you. And ran upstairs.
Why does it look like
cry
Schwartz
in the kitchen?
Why does it look some? For some reason, Schwartz's hair looks like it's like wine colored in this moment. Like he has like
Schwartz is like purple. He's like he's true. Like his body is failing him.
Yeah. Brock, are you there?
Brock, where were you?
Sheena is crying in the kitchen. Brock comes in to coach her, and he's like, you just need to like talk to Sandoval, like you've got this, girlina. And then she's like,
I just wanted to be with my husband. I thought my husband would sit next to me.
And he's like, I'm with James and Ally, doll. And then she's like, all I asked is that you come back on time. And I was like,
I loved when Sheena finally faces Sandoval, and he has these like pouty sympathy eyes on,
and he goes, I was thinking today just like about all the beautiful moments we have had together in our friendship.
And Sheena's like, I know. We had some good times, but it's really hard. I'm still so mad at you.
I really feel for her. She's like so sad and so like emotional and really is having the struggle of a lifetime. And she's stuck in Lake Tahoe, like duking it out with Sandoval on camera. And she's really struggling.
Well, she's like, she's so loyal to Ariana. And she's like, I'm Team Ariana till I die, but it's really hard. And she's like trying to have this like big TV moment. She's doing like heavy lifting that she probably feels like Ariana should be doing, but she's doing it sort of on behalf. But then she's going to be in trouble for doing it because Ariana's going to be like, why are you even talking to him? And might eventually hold it against her. So she's just literally a ball of nerves and worry.
She's getting scapegoated. Lala and Schwartz are sitting back to back, and Shannon, the fucking lady, is like just attuned to each other's breathing, try and get like in sync with their breathing. And Lala goes, "Are you breathing, Schwartz?" And I wrote, "This is what everyone asks him during sex." He truly is just full tilapia vibes, just a dead fish energy.
And he goes, "Yeah, I'm breathing. Should we sync up?" I was like, "Oof." And he goes, "There it is. I feel it. There you are."
Oh my God. Ugh. There's something about him getting like tender that really icks me.
There's something about her.
Shannon goes, "I want you to turn and face your partner. And now I want you to imagine that this is the last time you'll ever see them in your entire life." And I was like, that would be these people's biggest dream for most of them.
I know. They'd be set
free.
They're
never going to escape the clutches of Vanderpump Rules. Katie is truly, I believe, hanging on to Ariana because she wants out too, but she knows that the only way out of Vanderpump Rules is to ride Miss Glad's coattails into Sandwich Land.
Katie's smart.
But she also is, she's giving D, she's giving like D minus energy this season.
I know.
She fucking cut her hair and that's the only thing she's done. She cut her hair and like dropped the dogs off and that's it.
And brought lunch to her business partner.
But she's also just Ariana's assistant now. She's her hype woman to just... Katie's full position is like, I'm going to smoke so much weed. I'm going to like tranquilize myself. And then I'm going to say just yes to everything that Ariana says. Agree with her. And if I play my cards right for like the next year and a half, we'll be in sandwich paradise and I'll be out of here.
Pay paradise, put up a sandwich shop.
That is truly her MO.
I love when it cuts back to... Sheena and Sandoval, you just see one tear on cascading down Sandoval's cheek. And I'm like, there's his acting. He's so full of shit.
Sheena is like sobbing. Everyone has stopped doing anything that Shannon says and are all just sitting together watching Sandoval and Sheena like have this emotional moment. And then everyone finishes up and Sheena goes inside and she's like, I saw real emotion from him for the first time in forever. And Lala's like, come here, Shishu baby girl. And like cuddles her in the bathroom. And both of them are truly like, all we have is each other. The sandwich girls are on their own path. And now we must link or else.
She goes, come here, girlfriend. Lala goes, come here, bitch.
Girlfriend, I know.
Girlfriend, come I know. Here, girlfriend. It's really hard. We're in the trenches.
We are in the trenches of this fucking shite.
James is fully deluge. Allie is like a trafficking victim. I'm sorry.
She is. Allie is literally like her waking up in this house and having to be around all these people. She's truly like, how did I get here? Allie woke up one day and her life was this. She lives in Burbank on the fucking tarmac. Of Burbank Airport. She's literally getting sprayed by jet fuel every time she goes outside. And then she's forced to go on this vacation with a bunch of like recovering alcoholics who are like in and out of their own addictive spirals. She has no one to talk to. And then her delusional boyfriend, who's acting like fun and flirty on camera, like is a monster behind closed doors. I'm sure of it.
And also you have to deal with a fucking rabid Cujo in
yeah,
the form
and
of a
now,
doodle.
You're the caretaker of a poodle doodle that could truly rip your throat out at any second and will most surely kill your cats the second he gets a chance.
And then you have Schwartz, who's in like deep cirrhosis. He's like jaundiced.
Schwartz is suffering from like renal failure as we speak. He literally has like purple circles under his eyes. No, his heart rate is like, his fucking blood pressure is like 35 over 80. It's like slowing. His heart is like slowly giving out.
Every day
out.
His heart.
No
every
one
day
can
his
even,
heart beats his oxygen, less.
His oxygen levels are like at 65%. No one can even tell if he's breathing. He's basically like weakened at Bernie's.
He has like hypoxia. His fingertips are all blue and his lips are blue. Schwartz,
Lala
are you breathing?
Like, locked in a custody battle with truly one of the worst men to ever be born. That she's going to have to face the rest of her life sharing a child with literally a human turd of a man.
And then I just love Lala and Sheena, girlfriend. We're all each other.
It's time for them to team up and go rogue because they only have each other.
Back at the shoot for single AF cocktails, the sandwich gals are eating their lunch and Ariana's talking about Sheena being conflicted about like wanting to give Sandoval a chance, but also wanting to be loyal. And then Katie goes, well, she goes, if someone wants to be friends with him, they ain't gonna be your friend anymore.
Ariana communicates with Katie just with eye language only.
And Ariana goes, how was your date with that person from Emo Night? And then we cut to the date and he's literally like a buffoon.
She goes like on a date with a true blown idiot who doesn't even know what penne pasta is. And Katie's like, I can't have like another project boyfriend. Like I literally spent 12 years of my life teaching Schwartz how to like eat like anything other than chicken fingies.
How to use cutlery.
Like, Katie, you've just got to go full blown power les. If she was playing her cards right, she would seduce Ariana and they would scissor and she would then attach herself to her for the rest of time and they could build their sandwich empire. Because the only men that she is going to attract for now is like little baby men that need a mother to like teach them how to hold their fork and knife.
Like young, like Gen Z 25-year-old idiots.
Also like in LA of all places, good fucking luck finding literally any man. You're screwed, sister. You better get that tongue out and go down on Miss Glad's puss because it's a sandwich future for you.
I did appreciate her self-awareness of being like, I can't breastfeed anymore, like I'm out of milk.
That was a step in the right direction. Katie, I truly am forgiving her D plus to D minus vibe because her hair serves such cunt and she looks so good, but there are certain angles when she turns her head that I go, this could slide so quickly and easily into Gosling territory. I'm stressed.
It's an at-risk haircut. The line between serving cunt and serving Karen is like, it's serving razor Gosselin sharp. Is so the line between cunt and Gosselin, the good cunt and Gosselin is so gossamer.
It's a thread. It's a fucking thread. It's a tripwire.
The crew goes on gondolas up to the top of Lake Tahoe Mountain. Or whatever it's called. And everyone just looks sweaty. Nothing
this
worse
is
than a gondola.
The worst excursion. Oh, no one wants to be in this gondola.
We took a gondola in Palm Springs in like the dead of summer. And it was actually really nice to go up on Mount San Jacinto. Because it's like cold up there. And even in the hot, hot summer. But you're packed
to
the brim.
Breeze. Yeah.
Everyone's sweaty. It takes a while to get up there.
Poor Allie. She also is like deathly terrified of heights and they're like, let's add that to the mix. We're gonna send her in this gondola.
Schwartz looks like he's so sweaty. He's like, I need a hair of the dog now or I will go into like DTs.
He's having DTs.
And then Sandoval starts fucking, just when you think he's like had some sort of humility or some awareness, he goes, yeah, man, it really makes sense that Sheena was diagnosed with OCD because she just can't get over this shit. And you just see Brock. I give Brock a lot of credit in this scene because he was about to, I think he was holding back murderous rage because he's sitting there listening to this motherfucker talk about his wife and basically be like, you know, she needs to apologize to me for what she did on all her podcast. Like, he does not get it.
He truly does not
Sandoval
understand.
Is the biggest dumbass I've ever seen. He is such a fucking idiot. And he has no self-awareness. And he's sitting on a gondola with, like, literal Hulk talking shit about his wife and baby mama. And this guy is like, you don't want to mess with an Australian.
No, you They're don't want to mess with Brock. And I have to say, my truth is that I love Brock. I fucking ride for Brock. I think that I understand that he's had troubles and I see those, but I like his vibe. I think he has a good vibe and I think he rides for Shishu, and that's what I want.
I think he scares me in moments, and I see potential for like a scary man, but I also see he's very protective of Sheena, and he also challenges her and seems to be like, you need to face this to get over it. Like, he gets that she needs to do some things on her own.
He has like a fairly acute emotional like EQ, which I was like, I haven't seen that from like other men on this show in the same way.
He cried watching Shishu and Sandoval when they were doing their powwow.
Watch like Brock literally like fucking assaults like 7 women, and it comes out tomorrow, like the day after we.
He's a really deep down. He's a really good guy, like we said with Sandoval.
I know.
He's
I so think, amazing. But, like, I really am into Brock. Just, I like him.
Just with these people, though, you never know. So just
you can't say one positive thing, because it truly is like the day that you're like, God, they're killing it. They literally will come out and do something so dastardly that you'll be then the idiot. But so Sandoval's like, yeah, so no wonder your mentally ill wife has OCD, can't get over my shit. And then Brock's like, you literally had your publicist leak stories about Raquel and me hooking up to try and take the heat off of you. Like, I found this out. Like, I called and found out about this, and it was off the record, but it's on the record fucking now, bitch. And Sandoval keeps going, there's absolutely no proof of that. You will literally never find proof of that. And it's like, okay, well, that is the proof, because it's not about finding proof. It's about you did it. Your team did it to, like, deflect. And, like, again, when he says, Raquel and I did something that was never out of malice, not once intended to hurt anyone.
You did.
I just want these people to, like, reach down deep inside, because the best argument to counter that argument that Sandoval makes is to be like, what about Halloween? How is that not hurtful? You dressed up as Raquel for Halloween in front of your life partner. You dressed up as the person that you were fucking. So, like, that on its face is hurtful. So, like, fucking explain that. Like, you did hurt people.
Evil. And, you know, Raquel was laughing along and loved that too. So she was fucking evil in that moment too. I'm sorry. Like, I have empathy for her.
He's still wearing the lightning bolt necklace.
Yeah, it's
on
fucking
this whole
crazy.
Trip.
I'm like, I was literally like, ah, watching him in this moment. He is such a little fucking bitch, and he's a little weasel going,
you have no evidence.
He's one of those people that would like try to pick fights with like a huge colossus and then be like, and run away. And he keeps going, my team did nothing of the, like, by the way, hearing both of them say teams, I was like, I'm going to fucking blow my own head off. But but also, you say you love this girl, Raquel, but you were willing to throw her sexuality under the bus again to cover your own ass and be like, oh, she's a slut. She hooked up with Brock, too. Like,
yeah,
fuck
what
you.
The fuck? I didn't even think about that.
That's the girl that you say you love and like you were willing to throw love of your life. You just threw away and basically were like, she's good for nothing except her pussy because she slept with someone else's man. Fuck you.
Damn.
You don't give a shit about Raquel. You don't give a shit about her. You only care about yourself. You are a cold-blooded snake. He is
the amazing
worst.
Thing, too, is that if Ariana were to play ball, she's the only person that can, like, successfully shut him down in moments like this. So it actually would have been extremely powerful to have her around in these moments to just be like, no, and, like, set the record, like, totally straight. And I do actually feel like, I mean, he doesn't deserve to have her perform the labor to make him understand. But
no.
In the world of this show, we deserve it. So
we do.
We need you.
I still am like, I don't think like someone should have like be told to kill themselves unless they're like, you know, no, I just, but I'm like, the more I watch this guy, I'm like, you are truly a bad person. You don't care about Rachel.
You're a dumb dumb. You're a real dummy.
No, you can be dumb and a fucking narcissist, which is the worst combo to be. And that's what he is. I'm sorry. I was so horrified that in the midst of all of this, after everything Rachel was going through, like literally fleeing to Arizona of all places and having to be in a basically like a psych ward, you're continuing. You're so easy to just throw her to the wolves again.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted by him.
He doesn't give a shit about anyone but himself.
And then he gets up to the mountain and he's like, he goes up to Brock. He's like, yeah, dude, sorry, man. Just like, it's awesome. I wish Brock would just pick him up and chuck him off Mount Tahoe.
Brock should grab him by the neck and dangle him over the ledge until he, and threaten to drop him and until he takes full responsibility for his actions and apologizes to everyone one by one.
Also, I love him being like making her OCD about him. It's like not that she's like postpartum and having like crazy, like, you know, crazy isn't intense, like paranoia about like leaving her baby, which is so understandable. Not like it's all about him and like what she said on Shenanigans about him. He's such a fucking, I want to like just bitch slap him.
I know.
I'll take my shirt off like he did in Las Vegas and be like, come on. Come on, man.
You want to go?
And you know what? I'll say it again. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll say it again. Bad vibes from Tom. You know, I saw him that one time at NASCAR and he was too cool for me. And this was back in 2018. And he, no, but I was like, you look where we are, man. We're in Fontana at a NASCAR and you're not taking a photo with the only gay guy other than Simon that's there wants a photo with you. And he's going, oh, no. And fucking Jaundice is like, let's do it, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you knew.
Tells a lot.
Well, howdy to all you cowboys, cowgirls, cowthays, and cowthems. I'm here to tell you that Sup Goes West.
Well, we've got our first roundup on February 25th in Los Angeles. Then we'll be hitching our wagon to the best steeds this side of the Colorado and heading on out to Oklahoma City for a March 1st gig. Then on down to the Lone Star State, of course, for shows in Dallas-Fort Worth on March 2nd, and the state capital, Austin, on March 4th.
And just when you thought we were all tuckered out and ready to hang our hats and bid you farewell, what in tarnation? No siree! We head on back to California for a show on March 16th in the woke capital of the United States, Berkeley. Ever heard of it?
The Gold Rush never stops, and neither does Sexy Unique Podcast. Yeehaw!
Tickets are on sale now, so head on over to sexyuniquepodcast.com and get some for you and your loved ones. Doctor's orders! That's sexyuniquepodcast.com for a clean bill of health and tickets to see us live.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day, is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone's gondola outfits are truly buck wild.
They are.
Allie is the only person dressed with an semblance of normalcy.
Brock's like, I need a beer to calm down after that. And Schwartz is like, I'll have one, man. Let's do a shot, too. I was like, of course. Sober
Love,
King.
Sheena's drinking, like, Monster energy drinks. I was like, whoa. Shishu. Miss OCD, the last thing you need is, like, a fucking hit of caffeine.
No, it's so true. It's the last thing you want as someone who has OCD.
You really don't need that. I would argue that no one needs Monster energy drinks. Like, they're truly an unnecessary thing.
They're disgusting.
They're gross. Poor Sheena is being now relentlessly trolled by a Page Six article that came out where someone, and I remember this, where someone saw them out filming and asked if she could get a picture with all of them. So they all just like got together and took a picture with her. And then everyone literally lost their minds and was like, fucking Sheena, flip-flopper, bitch. Like, just coming for her for standing next to Tom Sandoval for a picture.
Sheena has been, since season one, has been, like, and I'm saying this, I know we always, like, but, like, genuinely, like, she is so scapegoated. Within an inch, people are ready to go. And, like,
she's the sacrificial lamb of Vanderpump Rules.
I just love how all these straight women, like, watching the show being like, you're like, we ride for our queen, you know, feminists, like, slay, like, let's, you know, slay the oppressor, Tom Sandoval. But it's like, but then are so easy to be like, you fucking slut, you flip-flopper, you fucking bitch. It's like, where's your feminism now, honey?
It's psychotic.
You're ready to just blame a woman at the drop of a hat because she had her arm around a guy in a group picture where she was being nice to some rando.
They literally
in Tahoe.
Also, like, their body language was like standing apart from each other. It wasn't like she was like hanging around his neck, like resting her head on his shoulder or kissing him on the cheek. Sheena can't take it. Lay the fuck off, Sheena. Lay off.
And then
Make this short and sweet.
I'm gonna make this short and sweet. Sheena, you better fucking back off, Sheena Shea, or I'm gonna come with a flare.
I also believe that she FaceTimed Ariana. Did she FaceTime her right after the like meditation?
No. Well, first Shorts goes.
She FaceTimed her shortly afterwards, and I think she did it even before the photo because she wanted to get she knew that like Ariana's gonna get wind of the fact that they like filmed together and like cried together, so she's just trying to like appease her.
No, I relate. I relate to Sheena so much.
You and like, Sheena are kind of one in the same.
People pleasing and also just like neuroses and like wanting to be like, get ahead of things, you know, and like I could see myself. And by the way,
what
I
if you and
note,
Sheena
Schwartz
oh, go
going, he they go he gets up he when at one point he's like had a beer and he goes out and he goes, this might be the most beautiful lake on the planet. Anyway, what if I Sheena what?
What if you and Sheena, what if Dorothy gave birth to twins, but somehow Sheena got taken away and placed in Azusa?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But like, yeah, just so Ariana and Katie meet Chef Penny at Electric Owl, which is down the street from me.
That place is truly, I never want to go there.
They love it there.
They love, the Vanderpump Rules crew loves the Electric Owl.
Chef Penny's waiting.
Chef Penny literally looks at them and goes, look at me. I'm the captain now. Chef Penny has fully taken over every sort of operation for Sandwich Empire and is now like usurping the throne.
She goes, you're going to sit down right now and let me take care of everything. They're hosting interviews at Electric Owl for, like, front of house staff.
For sandwich hosts and hostess.
This bald king comes up first, and he's like, hey. And they're like, do you have experience? And he's like, yeah, I worked at the Four Seasons. And I have experience with busing, hosting, serving. And then before Ariana and Katie can get a word in, Chef Penny goes, well, tell me more about that.
I have a question for you. What's your favorite sandwich meat?
What the fuck? What does that have to do with anything?
What's your favorite cured meat? Go.
He goes, salami?
She goes, good answer.
And you're literally letting the woman who made the menu at Sir.
I know.
Take over your sandwich shop. You guys are also fools for this. You're a fool.
They're stuck. It's not that they're, it's they agreed, they probably signed some shit and agreed to it before Scandoval happened.
Before now, Ariana could have gotten, like, Chef Curtis Jones or whatever his name is. Yeah. Curtis Stone. Bobby Ariana Flay. Could literally have, like, Bobby Flay's sandwich shop. There's something about Flay. And instead, she's stuck with... This is the best thing that's ever happened to Chef Penny in her entire life. Penny wakes up every day and sees dollar signs dancing on the ceiling because she knows that she's the head of the sandwich empire.
But it's...
This is Game of Sandwiches.
It is.
Game of Thrones.
Anytime she speaks, Katie or Ariana kind of widen their eyes. And then they get a FaceTime from Sheena and she's... This is after the crew has taken to a yacht to take on the Lake Tahoe, which, by the way, Tahoe is like the most beautiful lake. It really is.
Stunning. I want to go there.
Have you been there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's the water's freezing, but it feels so good. And Sheena's literally coming undone. The undoing is happening before our eyes. She is so nervous about Ariana finding out and being mad at her. She goes up on the poop deck and she FaceTimes Ariana at the Old Owl. She's like, yeah, I just want to let you know there was this, like, and Ariana's just like,
Ariana's like,
she's like, it was actually really good.
We had like a healing moment. Yeah, it's really hard, and I'm just struggling, and it was like really hard, and I'm like just so emotional, and I'm just having a really, really hard time. And Aaron is like, well, sucks for you, I guess. We're really busy right now. We have sandwiches to run. We have chips to figure out. And Katie's like, yeah, must be hard being there. And they hang up and they go, that trip sounds like it really sucks. And they go, yeah, it sucks. We're there for them. And they laugh. And then Penny comes in and fucking cracks the whip. And is like, fall in line, girls. Fall in line. I have sandwich questions. I have meat questions to ask.
This is how
this is going to go. You're going to sit here. I'm going to ask about lunch meats. Any questions that go through me, you're two are not to talk.
What is your preferred cured meat to sleep on? Do you sleep in a pillow of prosciutto? You sleep in a bed of lies.
I'm like, bitch, what does it matter? It's not like you have some fucking master butcher delivering you, like, hand-cured meats. You're literally getting, like, boar's heads best, I'm sure. If even that. So, like, stand down, Miss Penny. So then Ariana and Katie talk, and Katie's like, well, it just sucks because you simply will not be friends with anyone who even speaks to Sandoval. And Ariana goes, I'm not giving ultimatums to anyone. What I'm doing is simply saying, if you choose to engage with him, I'm choosing to do what's best and healthiest for me. I was like, you literally are giving an ultimatum. That is an ultimatum. I love nothing more than a smug.
I know.
Like, I rave smugness of having to do what's healthiest for me.
I know.
It's so girl energy that I really enjoy. The lording of like, well, I'm just really just trying to make the healthiest choices for me to live my life the healthiest way.
And Chef Penny goes, did I say you could stop? We're still interviewing candidates. I need you to get on your fucking knees.
Better shut up. Figure it out. Shut up. I have meat questions to ask. We're hiring that one girl. We are not hiring Dill Pickle Tie. End of story. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Make an order of 17 jars of mayo, 13 jars of mustard.
Shut the fuck up.
She goes, we have a budget of $13. Get as much meat as you can. Get the cheap meat.
She makes them go in a go-see for cured meats. She goes, I need you to meet back here at 4 p.m. And if you don't have a fucking Santa Claus toy bag full of cured meat, I'm gonna fucking shit in both your mouths.
Also, Penny, like, the cut to her explaining bread to them, where she goes, this loaf is long, and this loaf is wide. And Katie goes, ooh. I was like, this, my God. They're making this sandwich shop, like, it's like, it's not that hard. I feel like if you gave me $100,000, I could open a sandwich shop. Like, I don't feel like it's, like, as intense or as hard as they're making it seem.
You never know with loaves. She goes, Katie goes, ooh, I think they'll both end up doing the job.
Keen observation.
We cut to the boat and Schwartz dives off with a life jacket on and he starts swimming. And I'm like, I was just imagining him drowning. I love Brock and his little budgie smuggler.
I know.
And then Lala and Sandoval start talking. And at first it starts off like friendly and Lala being like, you know, I really want to like move past this point we're at where I can like be in the same room as you. And like, I feel like I want to just like move on and not have to like punish you all the time for what you did. You made a mistake. It's whatever. Like, we have to move on from it. And Sandoval's like, yeah, it's just like, you know, I feel like you guys have really been doing a number on me and Raquel from like all your podcasts. And then Lala's like, well, and I was like, oh shit. And Lala goes, well, you know, I seem to remember you calling me not real on some...
Gave an interview that came out the same day as Scandoval, where he criticized Lala for being, like, not real and only sharing a portion of her life.
She goes, so to hear that from you the same day you got caught for having an affair is pretty fucking rich. And then James goes, that's true. I saw that. I remember that interview. That was happening. And Sandoval's like, well, you know, Lala, there was a big part of your life you didn't share with us, like how you had a 6-year-long affair. And Lala goes, that's not true. I didn't have a 6-year-long affair. It was 5. No, she didn't say that. But they start going really at it.
Lala gets activated and then
I like
starts
to see that.
Screaming at Tom. Yeah, I was like, finally someone screaming at him. I love it. And basically, I see what she's saying. And his argument also has some legs to it, but they're both
wrong.
They're both wrong. I mean, like, he's more wrong in this moment because it is really rich to be like
calling
saying
someone
all
out.
That. And he's like, you, I don't know. It's just, it's fucked up. It's just not the same for everyone. And also, like, he had an affair with someone on the show. It's like Randall wasn't on the show.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. I'm sorry.
It's different.
And I liked when Lala was like, you know, you were bone chilling to me. I think you're a scary person. And I felt full dread from you when Raquel said, if I don't stay in line with Sandoval, then I'm not going to have anyone. She goes, you groom, you kept her away, you isolate. Like, she really, and Tom's like, I didn't groom her. What are you talking about?
Don't you dare call me a groomer, Lala. He keeps calling her Lala.
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 Lala. Don't call me a groomer, Lala.
Lala. No, don't Lala. Dare. I'm not a groomer.
She goes,
he is kind of a groomer.
She. I like that she said that. She goes, you fucking left
you
her.
Isolate,
like, you isolate.
You groom.
You groom. You're a scary. You're a bad person. He goes, Lala, no. Don't call me a groomer, Lala.
Lala. No. And then Lala's like, am I going crazy? Like, no one else will even yell at him in this moment, which I was like, come on, guys. Like, let's go. But yeah. Everyone else is, like, standing out there. And then Sheena goes in to have, like, peace brokering talks. She's like, what she's trying to say is, like, and she's done a man, and you're an idiot. And what did she mean? It was a bad idea. And it was green in a middle. She's like the United Nations.
Sandoval's she's a like, translator.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
No,
okay.
but it's not an oh, okay. It's not, he doesn't understand it. He still doesn't get it. He's not going to ever understand it. We need to move away from that. This is a man that will not take accountability for his actions ever.
She goes, Sandoval. What she's trying to say.
Yeah. And then they like end up hugging it out, which I was like, ugh. Don't hug this groomer.
And then back at the house, Lala and Sheena are talking. And Lala's like, I'm so darked out. This whole situation is insane. And Sheena goes, look, the truth is about it. Ariana knew how badly I wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars. And she got it. There was no acknowledgement of maybe this is something you've always wanted, but why does it? I can never have my moment.
She was like, I'm so happy for her. I really am. But what about me? And I was like, Sheena isn't having a what about me crisis.
She is. I mean, it's, look, I get it. It's real. This is very real and honest.
Yeah, I get it too.
This is literally what it is to live in LA.
Sheena's getting raked over the coals for the just taking this picture. And Lala's like, has Ariana like come to your defense or like said anything to defend you? And Sheena's, no, of course not. And like, I was like, that's very, very telling.
And Lala says, Ariana really needs to get her head out of her ass and like come back down to earth and be like, put a stop to like, this kind of campaign against Sheena could be immediately squashed if Ariana was like, guys, come on. But she's not doing it because it's helping her brand, which I get. But I'm also like, this is your ride or die since college.
And it's complicated. And it's like, I get that it's uncomfortable to have friends who are friends with people that you don't like. Like, sometimes that sucks. But it also is like, people can have their own separate relationships with someone that truly, at the end of the day, have nothing to do with you.
I mean, Brock said it in the gondola. He was like, my wife got a restraining order put on her. You know, like, this has been a lot for her. And Sandoval's like, yeah, for punching Raquel in the face. But I'm saying to Ariana, like, this girl went hard for you. I don't know.
Sheena threw down. Sheena got physical on your behalf and has been like your ride or die and supportive. And all you need to do is be like, thank you. And then give her like $1 million. You just have to be like, it's okay, Shishu. Like, I see you and it's cool. It is very LA. But like, these people's dreams and goals and ambitions are could not be further from my own. But it is, we're all fighting these same battles.
But yeah, it's just, I think Sheena, they all not need a sun ray from the mother source, which is Ariana right now, and they just need her to shine on them just for a second. They crave.
But also just like, get in the fucking mix. You're not, anyone that thinks that's on Vanderpump Rules, who thinks they are simply too good to be on Vanderpump Rules, has brain worms. You've missed the plot entirely. You're never going to come off on this show looking good, ever. So for you to even think for one second that that's a possibility, think a fucking again. And you better get yourself to Tahoe, jump off the dock, swim a mile over to that goddamn boat, and start fighting, or else.
They're there, sister.
My favorite, too.
Here, here.
Something I clocked. What?
I just said they're there. Here, here, sister.
Fucking Brock is shit-faced and comes back to the house. And Schwartz is also shit-faced, but that's nothing new for old Tom Schwartz. And they, like, go out to watch the beautiful Tahoe sunset. And Schwartz says something like, they start talking about relationships. And Schwartz is like, yeah, everyone thinks, like, Katie and I had this, like, storybook romance. It was, like, all amazing. And I was like,
sir,
literally no one thinks that. Not one person, if you ever ask them, would ever think that.
No,
so what world have you been living in?
Your relationship was a thing of nightmares.
Your relationship was a hell from which we will never awake. Like,
storybook.
What the fuck are you talking about? It was not easy at first. He's like, I didn't even like her. Like, basically, is like, he's like, it was not easy. I was in a hard place, and like, there have been a lot of times I don't even like her. A lot. I was like, we know. You literally poured a beer on her head. You disgusting fish of a man.
I love Katie's mom watching that, being like, that's great. That's good. Tommy loves
Tommy.
Katie.
Katie loves Tommy.
There's still love there. No, there's not.
Ooh, I still have chills, bad chills about Katie's mom.
Terry. I still am like gagged for the rest of my life at Rachel going, what, Terry? Incredible.
Someone called someone a cunt in that exchange that I don't remember who it was.
Well, Katie went, no empathy. No compassion. How dare you? No empathy. No compassion. It's getting weird.
We really need Rachel back.
This show is getting
I wish
weird.
That she would be so rogue. I wish the next rogue I need Rachel to go, like, what would truly be the most rogue is if she then showed up on this season of the show, like, midway through, and she buried the lead entirely and led her entire audience on her podcast to believe that she wasn't coming back. But then, lo and behold, she goes so rogue that she ends up coming back on the show.
What would be so rogue if Katie, Chef Penny, and Ariana were still doing interviews, and then they look down for a second, they look up, and Rachel takes her seat. She goes,
hi. I'm here for the hostess job. I have a lot of experience.
And then just smash cut to black.
That would be incredible.
Hello. I'm here for the hostess.
I'm still holding out hope.
Well, you know what? We said that we had hope for Samantha and we got a little glimpse of her. So
I know. I think that it's never over until it's truly over. Like, as in a show is completely done. I really do think that we could see a long rogue leg, a pair of pins strutting into any given scene, and Miss Rogue will be back in town. Do you understand? She would re-enter and be the queen of the show.
She would.
She doms Tom. She doms James. She could get Allie to join forces with her. I think she and Sheena could find a way back to some semblance of friendship.
There's a world where Ariana and Rachel forgive each other.
Honestly?
Or Ariana forgives Rachel.
That would be the most rogue that Ariana could go, is to show Rachel a shred of grace and hire her to work at their sandwich shop as a hostess.
Team girlfriends unite.
I'm a girl's girl now, I swear. And they go, okay.
Okay.
Katie would be Katie would go, steam would come out of her ears.
And Penny would go, this is what I'm going to the sandwich shop. This is it.
Get in front, count the loaves of bread. I'm going to need a loaf count every day. Some are wider than others. Take note of that. Some look the same, but some are wide and some are long.
She goes, you are now the queen of ciabatta. You're the countess of ciabatta.
Chef Penny won't call anyone by their name. She just calls them different breads.
Potato bread.
Cornbread. Get over here.
Potato bread.
Potato loaf.
White loaf.
Ciabatta. Roll call.
Pretzel roll.
She goes, pop quiz roll call. Ciabatta, are you here? And Raquel goes, present.
Yes! I'm here.
Should we do a roll call of our cult ladies?
We do.
And gentlemen.
We need to do a roll call.
And theys and gays and...
One moment, please.
Ciabatta, are you with me?
Hello.
Hello.
Is anyone there?
I'm going to make this short and sweet.
Make it short and sweet, please.
I'm going to make this short and sweet and shout out our Patreon members who are cult members. Makeup Fresh. Denise Jeanette Bruce.
Denise Richards.
Rachel in Dublin.
Rachel in Galway.
Gina Sapienza.
Sapienza.
CP76.
CP3PO.
Sarah Elizabeth.
Sarah Palin.
Lucy from London.
Lucy Liu.
Brooke Johansson.
Joanna.
Rachel Knight.
Rachel Levis.
Brittany Ryan Weiss.
Brittany Ryan Ciabatta.
Danielle McMillan.
Danielle Potato Bread.
Lady Swamp, which gives no fucks.
Lady Swamp gives no loaves.
Lazara.
Lazara Loaf.
Mazeltov.
Mazeltov Cocktail.
Mary.
Mady.
Mike Earhart.
Mike Amelia Earhart.
Sharon Baum, Realtor.
Sharon Stone, Realtor.
Timothy Scheel.
Timothy Chalamet.
Sonia Morgan on Mushrooms.
Sonia from Mortal Kombat.
Matthew Thomas.
Matthew Broderick.
Owsley Robinson.
The Electric Owsley.
Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey.
Kathy West. Rochelle Martino.
Rochelle Martino. Kathy Weiss.
Kit Moore. Hillary.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Orlando.
Orlando Bloom.
Patron of the farts.
Patron of the arts.
Nick Sedaris.
Nick Vial.
Emily.
Emily.
Kim Lucas. Jeffrey Pratima, Pratima, Pratima.
Jeffrey Pratima. I like this association. Kim Kardashian.
Guys, thank you so much.
Guys, thank you for your continued cultage. We love you so fucking much. Couldn't do it without
you. We love you. And we love all our Patreon people. If you want bonus episodes, if you want early episodes of my podcast career in the form of Pumped Podcast, which I did from 2014 to 2016, if you want uncut, raw, ad-free episodes and early video episodes and bonus video episodes, come on down
sign to up. Something about Patreon.
Sign up at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And our bonus episode this week is going to be released tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. And then we'll be back IRL and on our regularly scheduled programming next week.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.